is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back. So glad that you came back. We're doing a mini-series on prayer. This is Sharon Sorrells, the Great Shalom, where we proclaim that God wants total well-being for all children. We're believing for our children to overcome learning disabilities, other learning problems, any kind of infirmity or illness or life situation. We've been talking about prayer, and I have already given to you in two sessions more than you would probably get in years and years of Bible training from other people. So I've started you off in prayer. If you are having some difficulty getting going, try with the 5 minutes. And we talked about in the first session what you can do to fill up those 5 minutes and start with reading a verse of scripture, a chapter like a psalm, praying through that. You could use some other helps. And of course, the best pattern is the Lord's Prayer itself. You may have that memorized. It's not there to memorize so that you can just repeat it as if repeating it were magic. No, it's a pray it with your heart. And it is a good pattern. It shows you how to pray. No better pattern than the pattern that the Lord gave us. And then in the second set, we went over the scriptures that said God will answer prayer. And then we went very lightly over some reasons why you might not get an answer. And it doesn't map to the concocted stories that people tell you when they don't know how to pray and may not have prayed, may have only wished or not even that much, and then they have stories about why God doesn't answer prayer, and that's simply not Bible. The Lord says He answers. But there are things that block, and we talked about those. And if you want a more in-depth and more ordered, then have me out. We could study that in depth. But I want today to talk about the deep in prayer, something that almost never gets discussed, but is available, and I think it's highly important to talk about. So prayer is extraordinarily pleasurable. If you know somebody who prays, you know somebody who's joyful and who can open up wings like an eagle and rise on the winds, even can pray through the hard times. And we all have hard times, even the most famous ministers and the most, you know, the greatest men of prayer. But those who really pray, as opposed to being famous, know how to soar on the wings of faith. And most of us are learning. And in fact, the people who are brand new in the faith often are some are better than many others because they know how to just cling to Jesus. Lord, help me. And they fill their heart and their mind, their face with Jesus. And that's good prayer. But there is deep prayer. And I think it's just highly important. It's vital that we talk about the pleasurable depth in prayer. Because other faiths do that. I live in Austin. And for decades now, the Eastern paths and the New Age paths have been ascendant in Austin. And they'll talk about meditation being pleasurable. And so they'll set aside half an hour twice a day to meditate because it's so pleasurable. And they become more rested and more peaceful people. And there is good science to show that hand-eye coordination and ability to solve problems increases and even possibly the crime rate goes down. Well, all of this is what is resident in the Adamic nature. So people are like this because God created Adam to be like that. And if that's true, if we have scientific results for meditation, how much more in prayer should we be accomplishing? But we don't talk about it and we don't teach about it very often. And it's high time. You know, the pseudo-Hindus do not have a corner on the market of samadhi. Samadhi means bliss from meditation. We'll tell you what, you can get blissed out in prayer. I kind of wondered if that were true, and I don't know why, but I had such a reaction to some blissed out Christians who were not doing good things in the world and not working on problems. And so I was a little offended. And the heresy hunters ask, what are the revivals who everybody's laughing? What are they laughing about? Why aren't they expanding the kingdom? Well, forget all that. Okay. Forget all that. You know that God is deep, and you know that you want to get closer to God, and you know that prayer is a way to do that. So, hey, let's just be sold on that, and let's get closer to God. Let's explore the depth of prayer. Now, there are teachings on and on and on and on and on and on about God will answer prayer, and align up your words, and have faith in this. Not so many studies about what the limitations are, like you better forgive, and you better pray, and you better not quarrel. And of course, in today's world, it's not politically correct to talk about sin. Better not sin. Better get close to God. Okay. It's true that God will answer prayer, even for his children who are messed up. And help me, God, he specializes in. So don't say, well, I've got to clean up before I go to God. God will forgive your sins. But it's still better not to be stubborn, disobedient, sinful, and rebellious. Okay, if you really want a life of seeing miraculous manifestations, then get close to God. That's sensible. And of course, we just can't talk about sin anymore in the church. Like, we got to stop that. Okay, but we also should start talking about how wonderfully pleasurable prayer is. And so I'm thinking now of the scripture of Isaiah 45, I believe. Let me just check. Okay, so it's Isaiah 40 and verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So this is about prayer. They that wait upon the Lord. Well, this word wait is more like lady in waiting, you know, a servant who's got their eyes fixed on the Lord. But it is true that there is a sense in which we are spending time and not rushing things. So they that wait upon the Lord, attend to the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And we've talked about eagles twice now, how sometimes hard times come and the Lord uses those to strengthen us, to mature us. And the method for doing that is often to put out our wings of faith in prayer and to catch the Spirit rather than just to look at the rocks below and keep falling. But the Lord does lift us up. Okay, and so we shouldn't be surprised when things go ill, particularly if we are persecuted for doing good things, because we are in that, we are following the Lord. So that's part of maturity. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So there is good news about the benefits of prayer, not simply in terms of getting our needs met, but also in the enjoyment that we have, as well as how much we grow. And hold that thought in terms of time frame, okay, because we'll come back there. I want to talk about the benefits to the character and the benefits to the spirit. You know, the people who teach meditation say that every time you meditate, it does your brain good. And therefore, even if you're not a expert meditator, that you should continue, because each little time is a permanent little bit, and that you can bank these. You keep going, and bit by bit, or maybe leap by leap, but you will be eternally changed in your mind. Now, don't get out of sorts with me because I've mentioned meditation, because the people who most need this are the people who are newer to Christianity and or confused because they have listened to this. And there are some people who are more experienced in Christianity and have stayed in those circles and don't know this. But this is the conversation in the world, and we need to talk about this. So don't get your nose out of joint with me because I mentioned something there. All right. So they say that that meditation changes you. In the same way, I'm telling you that prayer changes you. And if meditation is good where you don't have a particular aim or help, then prayer is much better because you have an aim of being in a love relationship with the one creator of the universe and being helped by Holy Spirit that Jesus has sent to help us. And that might be a whole nother lesson, is about the Holy Spirit. But anyway, you know that Holy Spirit helps us with our prayer, leads us and guides us. But the point here is I want to encourage you into the depth of prayer instead of talking only at the beginning of prayer of, oh, you should pray 5 minutes, or the middle of prayer, oh, you can pray to get your needs met. But pray to wait on the Lord, to draw close to the Lord. And I'm just going to go it as I'm led. Okay, so there is a scripture. It is Song of Solomon, the first chapter and the fourth verse. It says, draw me, I would run after thee. So this is the beloved saying to the bridegroom, draw me. And this is true in prayer, that it is God, the Holy Spirit, that helps us to pray. And God the bridegroom will draw us in. All right, so here is a scripture that will help us make conceptual pattern so we could talk about it, about the depth of prayer. The seek, ask, and knock being three levels of prayer. So we find this in Luke 11:9 and Matthew 7:7. So I happen to be in Luke 11. And so chapter 9 says, and I, Jesus speaking to the disciples, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Okay, so Jesus is encouraging us to ask for our needs to be met. And more than our needs, we may ask to know the Lord better. And he encourages us that God is a good God and will give good gifts, even better than we who think we're pretty decent parents. Okay? And he lays this out, ask, seek, and knock. So ask is asking for things. Seeking is seeking the Lord. Knocking is to come in and sup, which means to have a meal, right? Is a communion. And we notice the three pattern, and that's also very similar to the pattern of the tabernacle. And of course, I've had a whole lot of teaching on the tabernacle. It is the pattern in heavenly to manifest. So Moses was told to build the pattern that he had seen. Okay, so there is a lot in the pattern of the tabernacle or of the temple. So you had the outer court, and this is where people would come with their sacrifices, their sin offerings, the thanksgiving offerings, and so forth. And so animals were offered there. And then there was the brazen laver where the priests would wash, which is like the washing of the water of the word. So we are justified and sanctified and still use the light of reason that they didn't have a roof. And so this is the outer court. Everyone should come and be saved, get their sins washed, well, sins forgiven. And so we are forgiven and cleansed in the outer court. And we ask for what we need. So it's just reasonable that we're going to approach God and ask for what we need. Our daily bread, forgiveness, and healing for ourselves and our children. But then, and we're told to ask. Ask and it will be given. And then we're told beyond that to seek. And so the seek realm, we are seeking God. We are waiting on God. We want to be near God. We want to serve God. We want to hear from God. And so this is much like the holy place. So in the tabernacle, only the priest would go in, and there were five pillars, which reminds us of the fivefold ministry, not saying only ministers can go in the holy place in heaven. And then in the holy place, as we're drawn in by Holy Spirit, then there is the table of showbread, which we learn the depth of the word, and there is the seven-branch candlestick, which we are led by Holy Spirit, given insight by Holy Spirit. And then there is the altar of incense, which is the prayers of the saints right before the veil. And so we'll deal with that in a minute, because we see very curiously that in Hebrews, we've got the altar of incense in the holiest of holies. Well, that's because Priscilla wasn't a Jew. Or was that because the writer of Hebrews was inspired? Yes. Okay. So back to the holy place. So this is a deeper communion with God than just asking for our needs. This is where we hear from the Lord. So we zip our lips. We learn from the word, and we let that be ministered to us. Fresh bread from the head. And we navigate by the light of the golden candlestick. So the holy place and the holiest holies have a roof. And so the light in there is the light from the seven branch candlestick. And it is said, I haven't found the scripture for this, but it's said that the Urim and the Thummim and the light from the candlestick hit the breastplate of the high priest, and each of the jewels that represented one of the tribes also had a letter engraved on it. So the high priest got a message from God by how the light hit the jewels and the letters. We hear from the Holy Spirit, and we have the gifts and manifestation of the Holy Spirit, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy. And so this is the realm where we are closer to God. And this is the kind of prayer we need to talk about. Instead of just asking and arguing if Father is going to answer. Yes, Father wants to answer and give us good gifts. But we need to get closer to, like a bride and a bridegroom, want to get closer and spend some time with each other. Or like a servant waits on the favorite Lord, okay, like Downton Abbey, which is a series on PBS, might be the only picture you have of servants and lords. And so there is sometimes a real affection, and the butler really cares about Lady Mary and vice versa. And so he's happy to serve her, and he's happy to stand in the corner and wait until she needs some sugar for her tea or whatever. So this is the picture of waiting upon the Lord, all right? And we renew our strength as we wait, as we rest in the holy place. So are you getting the picture? I'm talking about the depth of prayer. I'm not going to be able to do it all in one session. Okay, so the holy place is the place of us communing, hearing from God, and so therefore Holy Spirit. So I want to bring out a scripture verse in Revelations 8 and 1, which might not strike anybody the way it strikes me, but having heard meditation teachers talk about you should meditate half an hour, you should be quiet half an hour, this really struck me that it said in heaven there was silence for half an hour. It specified half an hour. And it is the experience of some of us that once we do our prayers, you know, we pray, we do our praising, we do our prayers for the people, we ask for forgiveness, often drawing near actually, in my experience, drawing near being, you know, asking forgiveness first, then going down for my laundry list, which is not actually what Jesus taught. But anyway, that's how I've usually done things. And then often praise is what ushers us into the holy place. So we are praising, we are singing, we are glorifying God in this way. Then we are ushered into the holy place. And we fall silent. Or if we don't feel the anointing, to wait on God until God pours out the anointing. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you. So often, for those of us who are more experienced, who want to get closer to God, if prayer time is not this juicy, pleasurable sensation, then we wait on God. We wait. And I kind of really don't think it's about God coming, although that's how we perceive it. I think it's really more about us, our hearts relaxing and opening up to God. But whatever it is, we have this experience of waiting in silence for the Lord. And then feeling closer to God, and then feeling the Holy Spirit rush in, or the anointing being poured on. So I am not giving you a bunch of rules. I'm giving you our experience. And so these are suggestions. And you will find, I think, that you will have a similar experience. Wait upon the Lord, and you will feel Holy Spirit, and you will hear from Holy Spirit, and you will be energized. Coming into the holy place, also a good time for the use of the gift of tongues. Now, in this broadcast, The Great Shalom, I try to be sure that it's accessible to all comers, and I know there's a great deal of argumentation, and I've studied all of it, about how to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit and so forth. Well, I want to tell you, I'm going to submit to you that it is clear that tongues is in the Bible. It's clear that people speak in tongues today. So it's clear that we should pursue spiritual gifts or manifestations of Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, praying in tongues is a beneficial thing. If you are depressed, pray in tongues for 10 minutes or more, 15 minutes, you will no longer be depressed. This is true. If you wish to bring angels around you, pray in tongues for the same amount of time and you'll begin. Now, we're not worshiping angels, but we are told that they are here to help us. We're worshiping Jesus. But as we wait on the Lord, as we want to go deeper in prayer, praying in tongues is something to do. And there's no point in receiving the gift of tongues and not using it, which is very often the case. So I am encouraging you to usher yourself into the holy place by the use of tongues. Once you get in the holy place, you're often silent. And it is this silent communing prayer in which God can draw us into the holiest of holies. And it is at that point. So we may be interceding for other people, for nations and the expanding of kingdom, or we may simply be worshiping God, worshiping as opposed to praying. We may be silent in a worshipful heart attitude without words. And this is where God brings us into the holiest of holies, and we experience his glory. Glory is kabod. It's very weighty. And if you've ever felt it, you know why it's called weighty. It's like being wholly impressed with the Lord, how great the Lord is. And you really can't say anything at that point. You are worshiping and probably bowing down, and God is great. And it is such a wonderful feeling. You don't want to leave. And it's so wonderful. It's hard to remember, but if you remember, you want to go back, all right? And so this is the knocking realm. This is knock and you are let in. So you knock perhaps by being silent, or you knock by having Holy Spirit intercession, having Holy Spirit pray in you, and you know Holy Spirit is going to pray correctly. And so this is why it's so helpful to pray in and with the Spirit. Okay? So, and then once you're in the knocking realm, once you're in, you're communing with God. And there's not much more to say about that, all right? But that's the bliss and the seriousness of prayer. There is a depth in prayer. We need to talk about this depth, and we need so that other people are encouraged to find it. And then we need to go and pray. And I think that's what I'll do. But I tell you what, once you're in there, if you breathe a prayer to God, help my child, it's done. Because you're praying just like Jesus would pray. It's done. Just like the perfect king of the universe discovering the true heart of his bride. It's done. In fact, I'm so impressed right now. All we can do is pray. So let's pray. Thank you, Almighty God. Holy God, loving God, thank you for inviting us in to your own heart. We invite you into our hearts. Thank you for inviting us ever deeply, ever more deeply into your heart. Lord, I pray for my listeners. I pray that they would be encouraged to seek you, to find you, to knock on the door of your innermost room where you live and find themselves with you. I ask this for our children as well. Lord, bless them. Help them to see you and the promise that is in you. May we increase in the knowledge and the character of the Lord. And we pray it in the most wonderful name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen. And so this is Sharon Sarles proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Celebrate the victory. Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.